Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA News, I'm Ryan Daniels. Republican presidential candidates are now turning their attention on New Hampshire, following former President Trump's landslide victory in the Iowa caucuses.
Both Trump and Biden, if you look at the fact that they are still focused on the past, whether it's investigations, whether it's grievances.
Nikki Haley gaining momentum in the polls. Trump spoke about his former UN ambassador at a rally of his own late Tuesday.
Is counting on the Democrats and liberals to infiltrate your Republican primary, you know. That's what's happening.
Vivek Ramaswamy's also calling on Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis drop out of the race like he did. Newly released 911 recordings on Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin's hospitalization and raising more suspicion about a cover-up at the Pentagon. An aide to Austin, who made a 911 call to request an ambulance for the defense chief January 1st, reportedly requested that dispatchers make efforts to remain subtle. An audio recording and transcript of the call was obtained by the Daily Beast. State roads managers are reminding drivers it's best to remain cautious, as this week's nationwide Arctic blast is likely to lead to more slick roadways this morning.
There is a chance of some slight refreezing, so we're going to be cognizant of that.
Charlie Gisler is with the Maryland State Highway Administration. This week's Arctic blast brought snow, ice, and those sub-zero wind chills nearly from coast to coast and border to border in the U.S. Today, there remain wind chill alerts posted across the Great Lakes, Appalachian, and Midwest regions. The deep South faces uncommon temps in the teens, while snow and ice continues in the Pacific Northwest. And the World Health Organization says the number of tobacco users across the globe has gone down in a big way since the worst of the COVID-19 pandemic.
We have 19 million less smokers than we had 2 years ago.
The WHO's Dr. Rüdiger Kretsch. This is USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
The oldest serving member of the U.S. Senate is now in the hospital. Staffers for Republican Senator Chuck Grassley informed reporters the 90-year-old is receiving antibiotic infusions to treat an infection. His office indicated Tuesday that Grassley is still in good spirits and will get back to work as soon as he's able under doctor's orders. The 8-term senator from Iowa is expected to make a full recovery. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is running for president as an independent candidate. During a visit to Atlanta this week, he said he believes that he'll face former President Trump and President Biden in the general election this November.
He showed me these numbers that made it clear that I have half a way where I can win.
During a visit with the Black Information Network, Gallup polls have showed RFK Jr. does well with people under the age of 45 and independents, which is now the largest group of voters in the country. Americans are continuing to spend more money at the grocery store. According to HelpAdvisor.com, folks in California, Nevada, Mississippi, and Washington spent the most on groceries. A bipartisan group of U.S. lawmakers trying to enhance the Child tax credit. This week they released a $78 billion package that would not only do that, but would also restore several business tax breaks, as well as boost funding for affordable housing and disaster relief. The deal faces some challenges, though. Some lawmakers want it attached to a must-pass bill to help push it through. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your health care costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you with us. In this description of this next book and the author that we're going to be speaking with says, if you want to understand the current issues surrounding race, social justice, and inequality, you have to read Deborah Plant's book of Greed and Glory. She is the editor of the New York Times bestseller, Barracoon. And she joins us now to talk about Of Greed and Glory in Pursuit of Freedom for All. Deborah Plant, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. It's good to be with you.
Well, I think most people would be surprised to hear this number. 2.5 million American citizens are incarcerated as we are talking right now. 6,300 of them are incarcerated inside the Louisiana State Penitentiary at Angola, the largest maximum security prison in the country. And, of course, one of the prisoners is your brother. Let's tell our audience your story, if you would, please.
As you say, one of those individuals, one of those 2.5 million is my brother. And my brother was found guilty of several charges, some of which he was guilty of, others that the prosecutor just decided that he would just pin on him, and was successful in doing that. And so in terms of the prosecutorial success, if we call it that, I don't know how successful you are with putting away someone for life for something that, you know, they did not commit the crime. And so my brother's story is my story, and actually, you know, it's the story of America. Mm-hmm. Why? Because it has to do with freedom, and it has to do with how our freedoms get taken from us, whether it's our physical freedom or our political freedom, our Bill of Rights, you know, our freedom of speech and demonstration and what have you, and how it seems like on a daily basis there's, you know, especially in some places, maybe more than others, you know, this becomes what we're dealing with. How do we keep our freedoms? How do we keep our liberties? Mm. And I look at my brother's case, and what I know about my brother is that, you know, as has been said, when you lock someone up, you're not just locking up that individual. You're locking up that individual's entire family.
Exactly.
And you're taking that person from that family, from that community, and from being, you know, a functioning, contributing citizen. And so, you know, yeah, we might say, well, we all pay our debt, but when is the debt paid? You know, when and why is it that this is the way that the debt is paid? made in America mm-hmm. by depriving us of our liberty.
Right.
So I think that's a big question for mm-hmm. all of us.
Yeah, and I think you bring up an excellent point right off the bat here, and that is that we need to understand how holy, I guess you could say, our liberty and freedoms are, and how they need to be so cherished. We take them so for granted in such a way that in these situations, and of course we see what's happening in our country today with the way the justice system is proving itself to be ineffective, the lawfare that's taking place. We've got January 6 patriots that have been locked up for years without due process. I mean, this all is an indictment on the current justice program. But going back to what you said initially, and I think that this should be the whole linchpin of this, and that is that we must hold sacred liberty and freedom. And to choose to take that away from somebody, wow, you know, you're on hallowed ground. That I think you've got to make sure that all the I's are dotted and all the T's are crossed before you take somebody's liberty away. Because, as you say, it's not just that one person, it's the family. How old is your brother, by the way?
My brother now is about 63.
63. He's been in jail for how long?
He's been in prison for 24 years and jail for 2 years previous to that.
Okay. And does he have any children?
He's been behind for over 25 years.
Does he have children?
Yes. He has two boys and a girl.
Yeah, see, this is the impact that it has on generations is just... It's so incredible to your point here. So your brother, as you said, guilty of some offenses, not so, but as they piled up the charges on him, they were able to sell a life sentence?
A life sentence at hard labor without the possibility of parole.
Wow. Well,
so
Deborah,
that's really a death.
Okay. So help us understand... you know, the situation, as you said, very vulnerably and honestly, that your brother did commit some crimes, and there was a price to be paid for those. What crimes was he charged with that you know, you understand to be unfair and that did not happen?
Well, to start with the crime he did commit, or the abuse, the infraction, what he did do, was he was physically abusive to his fiancée.
Mm-hmm.
He was charged with battery. He said yes, never once did he try to pretend like he didn't do that, he wasn't guilty of that. He said yes, he did.
Right.
But this prosecutor also wanted him to plead guilty to simple rape. And he said,
wow.
I didn't rape anyone. And kidnapping. And not only did he, you know, say or refuse to plead guilty to that, as it turns out, the state's own doctor who performed an examination revealed that not only had rape not occurred, there was no indication of sex even also having occurred. So
kind of hard to rape somebody if you haven't had any sex, right?
Exactly. And so this the plea deal, the prosecutor offered the deal, well, accept the deal, as he called it, for battery and for simple rape, or if you don't, I will charge you with aggravated battery. I will charge you with kidnapping and aggravated rape. And the aggravated rape charge is the charge that brings life imprisonment at hard labor without the possibility of parole. So not taking the so-called deal, the prosecutor said he was charging with that and he would do everything he could to make it stick. And he did.
Wow. Well, what a story, and I want to hear more on the other side, so does our audience. Deborah Plant is with us. She's telling not only her brother's story, her story, the family's story,
author of the book of Greed and Glory in Pursuit of Freedom for All. Stay tuned. We've got more from Deborah Plant on the other side of the break. We're coming on just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
It's obvious. The unthinkable continues. Most Americans know something very wrong is happening. People in charge keep telling you that everything's fine and to stop noticing. But you know better. That's why self-reliant folks are investing in emergency food storage. You should, too. My Patriot Supply, the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, are the ones you can trust. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $200 on each three-month food kit you purchase. My Patriot Supply also sells solar generators, gravity-powered water filters, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship that same day and arrive quickly on your doorstep in unmarked boxes. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today. Time is running out to prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
This is Don Shank with today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ worldwide in the languages people were born to speak. After more than 75 years of gospel broadcasting, the Tide Ministry is thrilled to announce the addition of two new countries to our outreach, North Macedonia and Cameroon. Both countries are prime areas for church growth, and we're delighted to take our ministry to those in desperate need of the gospel. Reaching the people in Cameroon and North Macedonia through conventional mission work is difficult due to poor roads and transportation facilities, the risks of persecution, and other obstacles. However, the ease and accessibility of radio opens the door for the Tide Ministry to reach those who otherwise may be unreachable. To learn how you can pray for and encourage people around the world whose lives have been eternally impacted by hearing the good news of Christ in their own language, visit thetide.org. That's thetide.org.
How would you like to get high-speed internet for your home for less than $2 a day? That's right. For about $50 a month, you'll get lightning-fast internet. Are you paying less than $50 a month right now for your internet? Then call Whole Home Connect right now for blazing fast internet at $50 a month with no price increases, no hidden fees, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees. It's a great deal. And guess what? You can try it for 15 days. If you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're going to love it. And you're going to love the price. Internet for your home for $50 a month. That's less than $2 a day. Plus, no contracts, no upfront costs, no equipment fees, and our 15-day guarantee. Call now. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. 800-699-0358. That's 800-699-0358.
We've been discussing with the author, Deborah Plant, freedom and equality are the watchwords of American democracy. I'm sure we'd agree. But like justice, freedom and equality are meaningless when there's no corresponding practical application of the ideals they represent, she writes. Several hundred thousand Americans are caged in American jails every single day, not because they're necessarily guilty of a crime, but because our wealth-based justice system targets those
who don't have the money to post bail, and the vast majority of those are poor, black, and brown. She writes, the African-American and Africana Studies scholar writes, providing an example of her brother, who's now in Angola State Prison in Louisiana State, that a legal scholar notes has some of the toughest sentencing laws in the country. And as she laid out, her brother has been incarcerated in jail and in prison for over 25 years away from his three children. The impact it has had not only on him, but on the family and on, you know, on society is something that we must look at and consider here, because we're reading the statistics of fatherlessness and what impact that has been having in black communities across the country. As you were explaining, we started to talk off air, you know, I had asked you, Deborah, you know, what the fiancé had to say, and she's pretty much kind of sticking to the story, even though, as you say, you know, claiming rape when there was evidence that no rape had occurred, right? Deborah, are you there? Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, okay. Yes, you're absolutely right. This is the claim. And you're so right about the issue of, you know, what's termed as fatherlessness or the absentee father and all this kind of thing. But when you look at, you know, indiscriminately locking people up, particularly black men, you know, how can we consciously talk about this social problem of fatherlessness and absentee fathers when the state itself is contributing to the problem?
Exactly. Well, and it's got to be interesting for you because you see what's happening. It's almost like now you've got, you know, attorney generals, you got prosecutors who are coming into, you know, states and where it seems that people are getting away with, you know, nothing short of murder, you know, where they're able to go in and steal $1,000 worth of product and, you know, with impunity, no consequences whatsoever. So it's almost like you have the pendulum swinging 180 degrees and, you know, we've abandoned common sense in the process here, right?
That's right. You're so right. And Alec Karakasanis talks about this in his book when he talks about, you know, yeah, we have laws, but the question is which laws are being, you know, pursued?
And exactly.
Who is being targeted in relation to those laws? So, you know, some laws are being, you know, seen as important and something should be done about it. And then certain demographics are targeted in relation to those laws, whereas others can commit whatever crimes they commit. And especially if they have a lawyer and some money, that's, you know, they'll be okay. And it's not even like locking up everybody is the answer. The question is, why are we locking up so many people, period? And why can't we have and find alternatives to depriving families of their family members?
Well, especially, I mean, it just seems to me that there would be some advocacy. I mean, you're advocating for your brother, but there would even be on a larger scale, you know, this case, because as you lay it out, it seems suspect on its face, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And there are many organizations that are advocating for change and for reformation, and as well as, you know, doing something about creating a system where we don't have this kind of so-called punishment system. And so there is advocacy on the national level. And one of the things I've been thinking about is how can those who are already speaking out and doing the work that they're doing, and there are so many people and so many organizations that are doing that, how can there be a coalition and a movement to really just uproot this from our democracy?
Exactly. And I'm with you on that, Deborah, because I think most Americans, the majority of Americans, are fair-minded, And, we don't want anybody locked up, incarcerated in any manner, taken away from their family. And especially when you have a situation that exists, you know, in today's culture. I mean, you have Hunter Biden, for example, getting away with murder. I mean, the kind of stuff that he's gotten away with. And I got to imagine, you know, yourself and others, other family members who see their family members incarcerated in prison, for crimes that you go, whoa, you know, what is going on? Just because he's a Biden and just because he's got the money, you know, his family has the money to pay for attorneys. I mean, that's not justice. That's not a level playing field. And that's the point you're making here, right?
That's right. That's right. Equality, justice, you know, for all of us. And the system is unequal. And, you know, prosecutors and attorney generals, what have you, you know, they selectively go after whoever they choose. And the object is not to bring justice forth. The object is to win. To either win a conviction or to win the release of someone. You know, it doesn't matter that justice is being sought or not. Justice is not their concern.
Exactly. Well, what you're pointing to is a systemic issue here, right?
That's right. Absolutely. It is systemic. And, you know, and it continues. It's so deep. It goes all the way back to colonial America. It goes back to, you know, Virginia and Maryland and how those systems were set up in terms of dealing with so-called those who broke the law or what was a crime, what constituted criminality. That changes to some degree depending on the politics of the day. So, yes, it is systemic. Yes, it continues. And when it comes to locking up people for life, well, that's in our Constitution. The, you know, the 13th Amendment tells us, like, yeah, slavery is abolished except as a punishment for crime. So our very own Constitution says it's okay to lock people up for the rest of their lives like a slave. And how systemic, how much more systemic can you get than that?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, if that's the goal, right, and that's your point, you know, we want people being free. That's the basis of our Constitution. We want people to honor it. And that means all people, not just people who are not incarcerated, but those that are adjudicating the whole justice system. Because what is justice after all?
That's right. The entire system and what is justice? And I think to the extent that we can understand justice when we talk about those who are incarcerated and those who have been used by and exploited within our so-called justice system, when we can understand how that's going awry, then we can understand this injustice when we see it as we live our daily lives. I mean, how just is it to be an employee in corporate America and to be surveilled, you know, throughout the day and sometimes depending on your work hours, through your personal time? How just is that? Every keystroke is monitored. What website you go to is documented. How long you stay in the bathroom. I mean, this kind of surveillance is the same kind of surveillance that people were under when we were...
Exactly. Got to leave it there. Deborah Plant, thank you so much.
You're busted. Appliance broken. Computer crashed. Then you need an ARW home warranty. Home system and appliance repairs and replacements can cause stress and cost you thousands of dollars per year. With an A-plus BBB rating and a top-rated home warranty company on Consumer Affairs and Trustpilot, ARW Home provides superior service featuring the industry's lowest service call fee. ARW Home has warranty plans that cover your kitchen and laundry appliances, heating and air conditioning systems, electrical and plumbing systems, and much more. Call 800-559-7562 to customize your plan. Plus, ARW has partnered with Azurian to protect your new and used tablets, laptops, TVs, and other home tech from accidental damage and wear and tear. All plans come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-559-7562. That's 800-559-7562.
USA News. I'm Ryan Daniels. Republican presidential candidates are now turning their attention on New Hampshire, following former President Trump's landslide victory in the Iowa caucuses.
Both Trump and Biden, if you look at the fact that they are still focused on the past, whether it's investigations, whether it's grievances.
Nikki Haley gaining momentum in the polls. Trump spoke about his former UN ambassador at a rally of his own late Tuesday.
Is counting on the Democrats and liberals to infiltrate your Republican primary. You know that. That's what's happening.
The oldest serving member of the U.S. Senate is now in the hospital. Staffers for Republican Senator Chuck Grassley informed reporters the 90-year-old is receiving antibiotic infusions to treat an infection. His office indicated Tuesday that Grassley is still in good spirits and will get back to work as soon as he's able under doctor's orders. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110, guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
Hey, welcome back. Bill Martinez here with you, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Louis Brown is going to be joining us in just a moment. He's written a book about how to take on the incumbent in elections. Elections and campaigning and that has been an interest. He was wired for this even as a kid. He realized that this was a lot of fun, and he really enjoyed it. But one of the hurdles to seeking and winning elective office is the daunting challenge of unseating an incumbent office holder. Incumbents have advantages in having public name recognition, fundraising ability, a record on which to run, and in his new book, Beat the Incumbent, Proven Strategies and Tactics to Win Elections, the global political consultant offers message strategies that have won elections that were thought to be unwinnable and changed the course of history. Louis, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Hi, Bill. Good for having me. Thank you for having me.
Well, here it is. I mean, you have had an international impact when it comes to elections, and something that started for you, you know, as a young man in your teens and realizing that, you know, you had a high interest in elections and the whole process, and this has kind of been a life's passion for you, right?
Yes, it really was my passion ever since I could think. And at the beginning, I was actually thinking that I wanted to run myself. And it was in D.C. Actually, I studied some 20 years ago at GW in Washington, D.C., and that's where I realized that I like the role behind the scenes much more, because it allows me to travel but still follow my passion, which is politics. So that was a great learning experience, and off I went, and did campaigns all over the globe, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mean, what have you how many campaigns have you been involved in, you know?
Well, several dozens, I would say. Mm-hmm. I mean, for me, involved means it's like on a sort of ongoing basis, uh-huh. The one-off. So, yeah, and I mean, it's fascinating that you may think that the campaigns are so different, and yes, there are obvious cultural, historical differences, language differences, and barriers. But actually, when I started to do research for Beat the Incumbent, I also realized that actually successful challengers do have similarities and patterns that unsuccessful challengers do not. And so there is a clear pattern among people who do this successfully, and that's what I try to describe in the book.
Well, and that's what you say in your introduction. You say the book's about winning elections. I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, we've got, for example, I mean, I can tease the Republican National Committee that they should have won more elections and have failed to do so. They need a copy of your book.
They absolutely do. And, I mean, looking at things from a distance sometimes helps you see the forest. And I think sometimes, you know, my work, when I come into a country, like I have no history there, I have no future there. So that makes me very free to be really honest with my clients. I mean, politicians in some parts of the world are really like gods, you know, and my role is like the jester. For the king, right? Which whose real function was not to tell jokes, but to tell the king what nobody else could tell him. And I somehow have a feeling that both actually Trump and Biden are not really told the truth by their people around them.
Yeah. Well, and that's the challenge. When you are in a position of power, you get surrounded by people. It doesn't matter, power, money, influence, that sort of thing. You get hangers-on that, you know, gravitate to you. And sometimes, you know, that puts you in a bubble and it keeps you from, you know, being observant of what, you know, what reality is, right?
Yes. And sometimes the people don't do it out of bad, like, intention. I mean, let's be honest. It is very difficult to tell a president no. They're not really used to hearing it. And, I mean, at the beginning of the book, I write how challengers should win. And then the last two chapters is how incumbents survive, how to launch a comeback. And, I mean, to be just really brutally honest about where you stand, I think is very important for both. I think many challengers overestimate their own support, especially people who are new to politics often overestimate their own support. But I would say that even for incumbents to plan a comeback, if you're vulnerable, you got to be brutally honest. And I think reality is the only starting point. And I write this episode in the book where we were with an incumbent, and one of his people said, "Oh, sir, in my area, the race, it's very close, very close." When I checked the result, it was not close. He was losing.
It's
not close. You're losing. So you got to be honest in the starting point, in the brutal assessment, and it's the only way to plan a comeback.
Well, but reality, you know, you're down the road when you're looking at polling, but reality starts with, you know, what's the perception of the voter, right? Because that's what gets the voter to the polls, and that's what connects you. And it seems that particularly here in America, because of all the different influences, Lewis, and you know this better because you've been a student of this, but it seems that, you know, so often we find in this country that perception can trump reality, if I can say that, especially if the point of reality can be somewhat obfuscated or clouded.
Yes, I mean, that's a very good point. And I think we're in uncharted territory here in the sense that before we used to have a set of facts and then argue about our opinions. Now we argue about the facts.
Yes, right.
And artificial intelligence is just about to start. I mean, now you see deepfakes evolving where it's really kind of hard to say whether this is real or a deepfake. So I'm afraid that there's something coming that we're not really prepared for.
Well, and this is what's happened when we entered into the information age. Information is neutral. It's what people choose to do with it, how they interpret it, that makes it good or bad. And, of course, here we are. We're realizing that we've gotten a lot of misinformation, and it's, you know, caused the government to even want to restrict, you know, the flow of information and this sort of thing. Now we start running into dangerous ground, because what should happen, you know, some have argued, is not that we have less speech, but when this happens, we need to have venues for more speech so that, you know, these issues can be debated and have an opportunity to be filtered by the marketplace, right?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, and again, it brings us back to social media, right, which is very good in many ways and gives a voice to people, but in the sense of like being in your own bubble and the polarization of the electorate, it also has a sort of negative side effect. And I think, I mean, yes, while there are less independents than 20 years ago, most elections, at least national elections, are still decided by independents, people somewhere in the middle. And reaching out to the center has become sort of really unfashionable, sort of not so trendy anymore. But I have a whole chapter in the book, Selling Change, right? How the secrets of selling change. And I describe like 10 or more strategies on how you can make people comfortable with voting for change and reach out to undecideds and independents in the center. And I think the examples that I use there are really old. And I think that's why they're so useful nowadays.
Right. Well, I want to talk more about it on the other side of the break. I mean, when you talk about change, one of the most recent you know, candidates to do that very successfully was Barack Obama. He sold the people on change, but he left it so vague that they didn't quite understand what kind of change he was talking about when he presented the fundamental transformation of America. I mean, you know, for some, the flags went up and the warning signs were there, but for many, they got behind it and thought, well, this could be nothing but a, you know, a positive experience for us, until we experienced 8 years of Barack Obama. Anyway, we'll talk more about it on the other side of the break. More from Louis Barone after this.
It was your best vacation ever. You on a beach having a great time. Then some stranger walked up and said, "Hey, how'd you like to come here for the rest of your life?" And then he went on and on about how much money you could save. You listened, saw his presentation, ended up signing a contract. And now, 5 years later, you have a timeshare you never use. But you're still paying for it. That's the contract. But what if we could show you a legal way to end the contract and get out of your timeshare nightmare? It's called Timeshare Exit Defense. Our lawyers will work with the gigantic timeshare company lawyers and get you out of your agreement. No more maintenance fees, no more payments. Call now. Get your free ebook to learn how to exit your timeshare.
800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. 800-296-1332. That's 800-296-1332.
How would you like to save money on nearly all your prescription drugs? We've set up a special toll-free number for the RX Outreach Program. They're a nonprofit company whose mission it is to make prescription drugs more affordable to the masses. They don't take insurance, and in many cases, your prescriptions are even cheaper than your co-pays. They carry thousands of different prescription drugs, so whatever you're taking, there's a good chance they have it. No coupons are required, and this is not a discount card. It is pure savings on your prescription drugs. They specialize in generic meds for any chronic health needs you have. Call with your prescription and find out for free how little you can pay for your prescription drugs. Remember, we don't take insurance, so call right now.
800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. 800-705-6581. That's 800-705-6581.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick.
This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Hey, welcome back. Bill Martinez here with you, 14 minutes before the top of the hour. And we're talking with the global political consultant, Louis Peron. And he offers message strategies that have won elections that were thought to be unwinnable and changed the course of history. These are all noted in his book, Beat the Incumbent, Proven Strategies and Tactics to Win Elections. Before the break, Louis, you were talking about, how to get people, accept change, because that's key. If you're beating an incumbent, I mean, what you're trying to sell is change, right?
Yes. I mean, the very generic message, especially in a two-party system like the U.S., it's really the incumbent says things are great, more of it, and the challenger says we need change. So it's change versus status quo. Right. And we mentioned Barack Obama, and I have a whole chapter about him in the book. I was able to interview David Plouffe for it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he is probably the one of the best examples for really running a classic change campaign. I mean, not only in the U.S., but worldwide, people were really fascinated with him at the time. You know, the way he symbolized change and ran on change is really the classic example of how challengers should do it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there was something about the charm and timing of one Barack Obama that he presented, as he said. I mean, you talk about capturing the perception correctly, this idea of hope and change. He embodied that. I mean, it wasn't unbelievable to think that. The problem, unfortunately, was when it came to the delivery of real, real change that would substantiate hope, that seemed to fall short. But that's something that history will treat down the road. Some commentators address that currently, but you're exactly right. And I think that there are some things, with personalities, like Bill Clinton, for example. Bill was very charming. I mean, people didn't think in a million years. I mean, they really didn't think. I think the Bush campaign thought that, it was said by, staffers for, candidate Clinton at the time, that they didn't expect him to win that round and that election with Bush. They thought, we're just going to set him up and get him exposed, and then we'll come back 4 years later and we'll win for sure at that point because he'll be solidly set, because they thought that they were going to have too much of his baggage that they were going to have to defend that was going to get in the way of his candidacy. But his charm was able to transcend that and get people to ignore the baggage that he had with him. I think those sometimes are some of the consideration, is that you've got the message, you got the package, you got the money. All this comes into the equation, doesn't it?
Yes, a couple of things, though. I mean, yes, they're both charming. They're both, Obama and Clinton, in many ways, actually similar. They're great speakers, public speakers. They're also both actually really good at retail politics, which now matters in a place like Iowa or New Hampshire, right? I mean, right. They're also both were really good in retail politics. That said, I mean, I have this part in the book where I say a bit, a little bit exaggerated, but I say charisma can be learned. And, it's a little bit exaggerated. It cannot totally be learned, but you can work on it. I mean, if you think about it, yes, everybody remembers Bill Clinton was great and was a great salesman and a great public speaker. Well, actually, when he gave, the signature speech in the 88 convention, people were really bored to death. No, the only line of his speech that got an applause was when he said, "I'm coming to a close." nobody would have thought that he's such a great speaker at the time. No,
exactly.
So he had a hit. The talk show circuit to sort of apologize for the speech and make fun of himself and sort of really, yes, that was the beginning of the comeback kit. Going back to Barack Obama, yes, he was a great speaker, but also good timing, of course. One thing, though, that I write about in the book is actually John McCain was a very good general election candidate. I mean, given his background, his appeal as an independent, he is probably was the one who could have most easily represent something different from George Bush. And the way Obama and his team defended change and tried to tie McCain to the status quo and to Bush at the time is something from a technical point of view that is really fascinating.
Okay. Well, explain that a little bit more. How did they do that?
Well, they used a lot of footage of like McCain, for example, telling himself that he has voted with Bush more than 90%. That during the primary there were like some footage where he was like trying to like go to the right and like say, oh, I was even more with Bush than some of my Republican opponents. And the Obama campaign really worked very hard in like defending their territory, which was change, which actually McCain, given his background and his sort of image as a maverick, could really have become dangerous for
right.
them. So
right.
good job both for the candidate, but also technically from the team around him.
Interesting. In Chapter 3, you talk about the best challenger campaign messaging ever. Break that down.
Well, that is actually, I think, Obama. I mean, and I think people sometimes confuse the message is really sort of the narrative, like, let's say a paragraph of why you're running, right? And so this is change, it's the economy at the time, it's like a new sort of politics. That was basically Obama's message. And then the slogan should really, and I learned that in GW 20 years ago, actually, the slogan should summarize your message in a catchy way and really show contrast with your opponent. And hope, change we need, that was really a perfect example of how the slogan should summarize the message. And really, if you look back at Obama's speeches, ever since he declared his candidacy throughout the primary to the general election, even his victory speech, it doesn't change much. There was really the same elements, hope,
right.
change, the change, change you can believe in, to the change we need. That was about all the variations between the primary and the general.
Well, and as you point out, some of these qualities are consistent, whether it's Republican or Democrat. And when you look at the winners, whether you're talking about, even Richard Nixon or Ronald Reagan Bill Clinton, there were some consistent elements there that when utilized, you know, were probably great elements to incorporate into a winning campaign, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think people from the right can really challenge, actually challenges from the right in many ways, their strategies are similar to challenges from the left. You need to start mm-hmm. early. You need to own change. You need to be willing and able to show contrast with the incumbent. You need to own the dominant issue of the campaign, which often is the economy. So you need, like, people need to see you as competent on that issue. And you need to, I think, offer the right amount of change in the right tone, given the political demand at the time, and you need a strategy on how to counterbalance your call for change and make people comfortable with voting for change. So the strategies are actually amazingly similar for challenges from the left as for challenges from the right.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Lewis, we got 2 minutes left. Well, let's talk in a sense, you know, we're talking about how you unseat an incumbent. You know, what happens when you've got, in a sense, like we have in this cycle, two incumbents? Yes, one a former, but yet nonetheless two incumbents.
Well, yeah, I mean, I recently wrote a piece for The Hill and saying that while Nikki Haley has more vulnerabilities, she also has more upsides for Republicans. And that's exactly why I think she would be much freer to run a challenger campaign the way I describe in the book. Because one of the biggest advantages, actually, of the challenger is he is free to criticize, right? And that's actually the biggest disadvantage for the incumbent. If people are unhappy with how things are going, whether it's your fault or not, almost automatically you get the blame for it. So I think if Republicans were to choose Trump, that's how it looks like, you sort of give up the biggest advantage and you make it very easy for Democrats to turn this into what they want, namely a binary choice, instead of being a referendum on the incumbent, which is the natural dynamic. I think it will make it very easy for Democrats to turn this into a binary choice, sort of an incumbent versus incumbent race, and which one you like better, and then Trump has to defend his own record.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's had 4 years of success that is quite empirical, and it's, I think, great evidence, you know, for him going into this. And there is a contrast between these two administrations. I mean, you know, with what Joe Biden has done and failed to do versus the accomplishments of one Donald Trump. And I think that came out pretty clear with the recent Iowa caucus. But we'll see how this plays out. Lewis Prohn, thanks again for, you know, coming on the show. And congratulations on your book, Beat the Incumbent, Proven Strategies and Tactics to Win Elections.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.